We'd open our Bibles this morning to 1 Peter 1. And reading from verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ out from among the dead. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We come into thy presence this morning with anticipation, knowing that very soon, Father, the dead shall rise, the mortal, those which are living in these mortal bodies will be changed and will be delivered from this pest house called the earth. We realize, Father, you didn't make it as a pest house, but man has made it into a pest house. And we realize, Father, that you will renovate this earth. And after the millennium, Father, we'll come back again to dwell upon this earth and to be here forever. So, Lord, we're asking that you would help us to understand the day and hour. What's going on right now, Father? That's our prayer. Help us, Lord, as we would study thy word. Open it to us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning, I'd like to continue to focus on just a few words from paragraph 144, where Brother Branham said, in our mistakes, don't say, well, I made a failure. No, that don't make a... Abraham made failures too, see? In other words, don't be focusing on your failures when you're ordained not to fail. You need to learn to say what God said about you. Not what you see in the glass mirror, but what you see in the mirror of his word. So what does the Word of God say of our end? Plenty. For starters, let's turn in 1 Peter. And again, let's read from verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope, a hope that's been made alive. How? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ out from among the dead, to an inheritance which is incorruptible and undefiled and fadeth not away, which has been reserved in heaven for you. And if the inheritance is reserved in heaven for you, it means that God already knows that you're going to be there. So don't say that you failed. You who are kept by the power of God through faith. And what is faith? It's revelation. It's something that's been revealed to you. And so Peter says, you who are kept by the power of God through revelation unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You see right there, it's a revelation. It's a last time or last day's revelation that he's talking about. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. You say, if need be, well, who needs trials? But just remember, Jesus said that the Father would not place upon us anything that we could not bear. So there is a reason for all the trials that we must go through. After all, it is not a living sacrifice that we are to... it is a living sacrifice that we are to present to the Lord. Not a dead one. Notice again what Peter says in verse 7. That the trial of your faith, that's the trial of your revelation, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, that it might be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Notice then this tells us that there is an outcome that will result from these trials. The trials of a revelation. And that in itself tells us that the test or the trial is for the purpose of being approved. And the Weiss translation says, if perchance there is a need for it, you have been made sorrowful in the midst of many, many different kinds of testings. If perchance there is a need for it, you have many, many testings. In order that the approval of your faith, which faith was examined by testing, for the purpose of being approved, that approval being much more precious than the approval of gold which perishes, even though that gold be approved by fire testing. It may be discovered after scrutiny to result in praise, honor, and glory at the time of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Notice Peter speaks to us of a trial of your faith or the testing of your faith. That is how God develops the picture in us, through the trials and testings. And those trials and testings are for the purpose of approving us. You take the picture, you put the film into the water. I don't know the whole process. I've never done it, but I know the light strikes the image. The image needs to go through some clarifiers and some things, you know, to get rid of the silver content or whatever it is. And it develops the pictures. And so there's a washing of water, you know, by the word, so to speak. And so God brings trial upon trial upon trial, if perchance there is need of it. So you're not going to get the trials unless there's a need for the trial. So then the trial is for your benefit. You see? You understand? You don't do all the work with the negative just to wash it clean. You do all of the washing and follow the process to develop that image that is a negative with the purpose of bringing it into a positive. Now, this test is not to test the revelation that we have, but to test our reception of the revelation. For anyone can say that they believe. But as James said, show me your works and I will show you my faith. God gave Noah a revelation that it would rain, and in that revelation he gave him a way of escape. Had Noah not acted upon the way of escape, he would not have passed the test. But he was ordained to pass the test. Therefore, when the test came, he was more than a conqueror, and he was more than able to do what God had shown him that he needed to do. And he built the ark, and his stepping into that revelation is what brought it into manifestation. I think our problem as a bride, universally, is we're not focused on getting out of here. We're too focused on day to day. We're too focused on self. And when something doesn't go according to self, we get angry or we get upset or we turn the world upside down. And you're not going to get out of here in that condition. If you truly believed that the Lord has come down, that the rapture is in process, and that it could be this spring, that you had, well, let's face it, if a doctor came and told you have 90 days to live, how would you live your life? You have 90 days before you're going to go meet your Maker. How are you going to conduct yourself? You have a year and 90 days before you're going home. Not 1 minute beyond. It's certain. How are you going to conduct your life? Knowing you're going to stand before the white throne, how are you going to conduct your life? As I said, the test is not testing his revelation. He knows what he's revealed. But it's testing whether you have received it or not. So what Peter is telling us here is that there is to come an end time revelation that has to do with the revelation of Christ, and there will be a people that are ordained to step into that revelation and become the manifestation of that revelation. And that revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, just like in school, a test is always given to test our understanding. Therefore, the test is but just an examination. It is an experiment or a trial that is used to prove the value or to ascertain the nature of something. That is why we see the nature is predicted by God to come forth in praise, honor, and glory. Not predicted, but ordained. And what is this particular thing that is being tested? The scripture says it is our faith. And Brother Brown taught us that faith is what? Revelation. Faith is a revelation, something that's been revealed to you. And the scripture tells us what revelation we will be tested on. It says, this test will come at the time of the revelation of Jesus Christ. So we will be tested by God as to whether we understood, and therefore we have entered into that revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, that same relationship that Jesus had with his Father, we thus entering into his relationship through his blood, become sons in the image of the firstborn son. Now there it is. If God came down to you like he did to William Branham and told him that your ministry was to go into all the world, that you were to reflect him, that you were to become the very manifestation of his presence on earth, how would you conduct yourself? And by the way, every time you get out of line, I'm going to beat the snot out of you. How would you conduct yourself? It's like you tell your child not to do something. Then the child goes to do that thing. Do you get up? Give him a little smack. Let him know that the boundaries are set. Or do you sit back there and say, "Now, Junior, I told you not to do that." And Junior says, "Well, there's no boundaries here, just voice." You see? And as Jesus was crowned with glory and with honor at his coming, so shall we also receive a crown of glory at the time of the apocalypse or the unveiling of Christ. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, we read, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, was crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man." Now I want you to see that in the Alpha, Jesus, the Son of God, was crowned with glory and honor. So also in the Omega, we are to be crowned the same way, as Peter said in 1 Peter 1 and verse 7. Praise, honor, and glory. It will result. We are ordained to have a test, and we are ordained to pass the test, and the result of the test will be praise, honor, and glory. Also in 1 Peter 5 and verse 1, "Elders which are among you, I exhort you, who also am an elder, and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." The glory that shall be revealed. What's revealed? It means it was hidden. So when it's revealed, it's manifested. So this glory will be manifested. Where? In you. "Feed the flock of God, which is among you. Take the oversight thereof, not of constraint, or by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither being lords over God's heritage, but be an example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Now in verse 1 he said that we also may become partakers of the glory that shall be revealed. And here he says, "Ye shall receive a crown of glory." So where's it going to be revealed? In you. So we're going to investigate this time of the testing at the appearing of Christ, because we know that he, as he is in this world, so are we. And when he appears, so shall we appear also with him in glory. That's Colossians 1. In other words, we'll appear with the same opinion, the same values, the same judgment. Therefore, we want to examine how the test or the tests at the time of his appearing or unveiling is to produce in us what it produced in the firstborn son in the Alpha ministry of Christ. For God has ordained certain results for us as a result of this testing. In other words, if the test in his ministry or his person produced what it did, it should produce the same thing in you if you're made from the same stock. All right? Notice the words in 1 Peter 1 and 5. "You who are kept by the power of God," and we know that the power of God is his own word. In Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So we find here in verse 5 that Peter is telling us that we are to be kept by the word of God at the time of this testing. In other words, when the test comes, you see the trial, you see these circumstances so big that you don't know what to do. You just say, "Well, God said this." And that keeps you. That's your anchor. "You who are kept by the power of God through faith," through revelation, "that brings you to a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." Now, the Weiss translation uses these words last time. He says, as a season which is epochal and strategic in its nature. Epochal and strategic. Then Peter says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold testings. Notice he tells us, if need be. So we see then that these tests are on an as-needed basis. You say, why am I getting hammered all the time and brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so is not? As-needed basis. As needed. Therefore, the testings are to come, but the number and degree of those tests will depend on whether you need it or not. Or better yet, they will come, and the degree to which they come will be based on whether or not you passed them the first time around. Now, let's make it a little bit easier for our brains to understand. If you pass the first grade exam the first time you take it, then you don't take that test anymore. You go on up to higher things, right? But if you do not pass the first grade exam the first time you take it, you must take that exam over and over and over again until you pass it. And you'll keep on taking that test over and over and over again the rest of your life until you finally pass it. If need be, he said. Then you move up higher.